Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. I thank you for that song and the excitement, the enthusiasm of it. That day may be coming a lot sooner than we think. So the question is, are we prepared for the supernatural that we are going to be confronted by? We have a tendency to laugh at demons, watchers, Nikesh, chaos. But it's time that we unmask these things and begin to understand who they are and what they can cause. Because if we're not careful, we'll just address what is above the ground, not the root of the cause. And they will continue with their destruction and deception. I pray that you'll open every mind here. Open it to the supernatural. For the supernatural realm is alive and well. It is very, very, very active. It is very, very dangerous. So we're not laughing this morning because what we've been watching on TV in the streets of Portland and other major cities, they've had that spirit of chaos and didn't really know what was moving them, what was controlling them, what was causing them to act the way that they are. So I pray that you'll give us the understanding that is needed as we look at the printout here in just a moment. No more will we laugh. No more will we make fun of. But open our eyes again to what we have yet to see. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to listen to something before we get started pertaining to the printout this morning. You'll notice we're back in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 13. The title is Satan's Seat. And you better take this as serious as you can. Please listen. This is not on the printout. We do not yet know the identity of the man of sin or the Antichrist, but we can already see his kingdom as it takes shape. Globalism is led by human politicians and fallen angel spirits. It is a sickness built on sin and greed. A message that's being slickly packaged as unity and common purpose. Pressed between the pages of bleeding heart causes such as human rights, global climate change, and diversity. Don't be fooled. Platitudes and political promises are clever lures meant to entice us into joining the Antichrist side. Let's look at the printout as we begin. Verse 13, Satan's seat. I, underline that word or letter I. I is talking to Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is God. So therefore, Jesus Christ is all-knowing. I, Jesus Christ, God. All-knowing. I know where you dwell. In other words, I know where you live and the environment you live in. A place where Satan sits enthroned. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed right in front of your very eyes. He was martyred for the cause of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand that God allowed him to be killed. He allowed him to become a martyr for the cause of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Does he still allow that to happen today? The answer is absolutely yes. Look at the word seat. Seat is thronos, thronos. It is a symbol of ultimate authority. Please remember, he is not the ultimate authority, for God is the ultimate authority. But yet Satan on planet Earth is a tremendous authority, an authority that is given to him by the living God, and therefore it is controlled by the living God also. In Pergamum and other eastern lands of the Roman Empire, pagans commonly used this word thronos to describe invisible seats. You might want to underline the two words, invisible seats. Seating, number one, supernatural beings that we cannot see yet exist. To describe invisible seats of power. Underline the word power. What kind of power are we talking about? We're talking about supernatural power. I want you to notice that when you talk about the supernatural world or realm, you're talking about beings that have been created by Almighty God. Therefore, they are under His control at all times, even though it may not seem like it. They are on a leash. Power, number one, supernatural power. Now, do you have a supernatural power? Well, the answer to that is the supernatural power is not you. The supernatural power is the Holy Spirit that is in you. Supernatural power. Secondly, it is highly organized. It is highly organized. Demonic armies are highly organized and committed, lastly, to your complete destruction. Complete destruction. So in Pergamon and other eastern lands of the Roman Empire, pagans commonly use this word thronos to describe invisible seats of power. Again, supernatural power, highly organized power, and power committed to complete destruction of a human being. Upon which the local gods, I have underlined the word gods for you. You'll notice that is little g. That is a little g. Sat to rule their towns, cities, or provinces. What is going on in Portland, Oregon, as we speak, and other cities that have been really, I would say, blanketed with chaos? It is a supernatural chaos. It is a supernatural power. And making more man-made laws is not going to help the situation. We're going to have to unmask the spirits that are causing all of this chaos as we continue dealing with it. Because we as human beings cannot deal with the supernatural. It is going to take, again, the Holy Spirit in you, the child of the living God. Because the Holy Spirit is God, and therefore He is the power if we rely upon Him to deal with that which we cannot. So by using this word thronos or seat, Jesus was saying that in Pergamum, Satan was the master of the house. He had a throne upon which he, Satan, sat. Now, when we begin this next sentence, underline the word Satan. The word Satan. Satan is known for his intelligence and also his cunning. Satan is known for his intelligence. It is a supernatural intelligence. And I want you to understand that Satan has game film on every human being that has been born. He knows how you're going to respond. He knows how you're going to react better than you do. Because he has been using this game film on other people as they continue to populate planet Earth. And therefore, he has seen about every response that can be seen and is known. So when he comes into your life that entity, that spirit of chaos, believe me, he knows how to bring chaos into your home and into the individuals of that home. So here is Satan. He is known for his intelligence. He has a higher intelligence than created human beings. That's why we are no match for Satan himself. He's known for his intelligence that is above ours, and he's also known for his cunning. Be careful. You can't fool with him. You don't want to deal with him. There are some angels in the Bible that did not want to deal with him. And so take that as an example for your own life, even as a Christian. So Satan is known for his intelligence and his cunning. Satan was the absolute ruler of the house in Pergamum. Let's look at point one. Satan had ruled in Pergamum. Underline the word ruled, and I want you to understand. Number one, Satan is the ruler of this world at this moment. Satan is the ruler of this world at this moment. But remember, God is the ultimate authority. He is all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. Secondly, Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the ruler of this world. Satan is the god of this world. And there's another. The whole world lies in his power. This whole world lies in the power of Satan. But there is a greater power. Again, it is God Almighty because he is all-powerful. He has always existed. Remember, Satan is a created being. He is not all-powerful. He is not all-knowing. All right, let's go back to the printout right here. All right, now, there's another thing. When Adam sinned, the title deed of planet Earth was turned over to Satan. I'll repeat that. When Adam sinned, the title deed of planet Earth was turned over to Satan. Now, Satan had ruled, and God was allowing him to do this to a certain extent, in Pergamum for generations with no resistance. He has had free reign. Notice, number two, Satan's power was so entrenched in the city through the authority of the Roman government. Please underline this phrase. Through the authority of the Roman government. Are we seeing the same thing today? Is Satan ruling through the authority of the government that we have today? The answer is absolutely yes. All right, let's reread that. Number two, Satan's power was so entrenched, it is dug in, he's saying, in the city through the authority of the Roman government. What's wrong with the government of the United States of America? They do not realize how they are being used and confused in a very chaotic way by a highly skilled demonic army. So who actually behind the curtains is running the government of the United States? It is not the politicians that we send up there. Draw back the curtain and you're going to see one main character, and that is the spirit of chaos. Our world is full of chaos and confusion. In fact, so much that the majority of those that are in charge do not know what to do. And I assure you that the system of the Antichrist is truly being set up, taking shape and form, getting ready to come upon the scene after the rapture of the church. Is the rapture of the church the next big event? Absolutely. It is the event that is going to trigger the seven-year tribulation. All right, back to the printout. Satan's power was so entrenched in the city through the authority of the Roman government established there that he, Satan, began to rule the whole region of Asia. The whole area was blanketed with spiritual darkness. Now, I hope you have a pen, and you need to write this down, because in about 2 months or less, we are going to enter a study that is so deep, and it is scary to a point, so supernatural, diving into that realm. I'm going to do it on Wednesday because I do not believe that everybody that comes on Sunday morning can handle this and will know what to do with it. All right? So be praying for me as this is being put together. So the whole area was blanketed with spiritual darkness. All right? Let's begin with this. We as Christians must unmask the spirits. Question, how do you and I as Christians unmask these spirits that we have been talking about? These are spirits, demon spirits, fallen angels. We will unmask them by the word of the living God. We will unmask them by operating in the power of God. And we will unmask them by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you think about the blood of Jesus Christ, we think about the death of Christ. But here's what hit me when putting this together. When you talk about the blood of Jesus, yes, He did go to the cross and pay our sin debt in full. But also, after the cross came a what? A resurrection. So we are dealing with Jesus Christ. He's not dead. He is alive. He is the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. And when you and I choose to commit to the Word of the living God and commit to meditation and commit to being submissive to the Word of God, you're going to see one victory after another in your life as a child of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. But you must choose for this to happen. You must commit for this to happen, because what is coming down the pike, brother, if you're not deeply rooted and grounded in the Word of God and you don't know how to speak the Word of God, then you're going to be in trouble even as a Christian. And you're going to say, God, why am I being whipped so bad? Why do I feel so disappointed? Why am I so frustrated? Why am I so defeated? God says, because I have put the food on your plate, son. Now take it up and eat it and digest it so you will have the spiritual, godly energy and power that you need through the power of the Holy Spirit and submissiveness to the risen, resurrected Lord to handle what is coming at you. Because if you're not properly prepared as a Christian, it will eat you up. It will eat you up alive. It will cause more chaos in your life than you knew that existed. So therefore, do what you're told in the Word of God. Obey it, and it will go to work for you. It is a work that you yourself cannot do in the flesh. You can't do because you're labeled a Christian. It is only done in the power of Almighty God that is exercised, that is spoken, and submitted to. Amen. Amen. Thank you. We must unmask the spirits behind the chaos. So they're just walking the streets in Portland, Oregon. They're just burning. They're just looting. They're just stealing. They're saying defund the police and other things that are really, really negative. So they're just doing this on their own. No, they're not. There is the spirit of chaos behind the scene. And Christians in Portland are going to have to come together, and we all over really that can come together as an assembly and start praying, because all of this is spiritual. It's all spiritual. And you've got to get the spiritual Word of the living God. The Word of God is what? It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the power of Almighty God. Jesus spoke it and things happened. It's the same Word He spoke. You got the same Jesus in you right now. Learn to speak the Word of God and mean it and submit to it and obey it. And Satan is going to have to turn and walk away as he did with Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We must unmask the spirits behind the chaos. the giants, Genesis chapter 6, the Nephilim. Jesus is going to address that. He has in the Bible. Now, when I mentioned the spirit of chaos, I was at a church and they did everything but grin and laugh. Then I mentioned the giants. They did not believe in Genesis chapter 6, the Nephilim. That's a hybrid people, half angelic, half human. And brother, they did exist. They wanted to disrupt the line, the bloodline, so Jesus could not come through that line as was planned in eternity past. But I want you to notice that Jesus was victorious over that. Jesus brought about what needed to come, and brother, there came a flood right there. Now, do we still have the giants? Yes, we do. We still have the giants, all right? We must unmask the spirits behind the chaos, the giants, the small gods, and the ancient dragons. They're in the Bible. It is time to answer the question why the spiritual war exists. As we uncover the chaos dragon, when you go back to Genesis chapter 1, God began to create, but it was without form and void. What happened there when you get to digging and studying? Something chaotic took place. You had the what? You had the spirit of chaos back then. But what happened? The spirit hovered over that water. And he defeated the spirit of chaos. Amen? Thank you. You're going to love this new study. There is the chaos dragon. Then there is the Nakash, however you want to say it, has to do with Satan. Then there are the watchers. Watchers, W-A-T-C-H-E-R-S. Angels are known as watchers. They're watching. But you have angels that fell with Satan. Fallen watchers. And fallen watchers came down to planet Earth and did their dirty deeds. Do you understand? And they're still working. Some are so dangerous and chaotic. It says in Jude, they're thrown into a deep, dark prison. And the darkness is so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. What I'm trying to do is get you alert to what is out there that you cannot see in the supernatural realm that is causing such confusion and causing such chaos. People are just going nuts. They're losing their sanity because they don't know the other world that exists out there and what the other world pertains to. All right, here we go. The chaos dragon, the Nakash, the watchers, the Nephilim, Babel. It's going to surprise you what the sin of Babel actually was. Then there's Satan, and then there is the Antichrist. That's just a little bit of what is out there. All right, let's go back to the printout. Satan's power had been unchallenged in Pergamum and surrounding areas for centuries. Hear the good news. Once the church, all right, we're going to stop and define church. Church, a body of believers in who? Yeah, in Jesus Christ, not the government. The government wants to shut everything down and keep sending you a stimulus check. So what do we need to do? Open up the restaurants, march into the office of the government and say, you don't get paid until we get paid. And evidently you need to get out of the office because you don't know what in the world that you are doing. All right? Now, here we go. Church, a body of believers in Christ who have been called out. Can you save yourself? Can you call yourself out of society? So therefore, somebody has to call you out in order to be saved. What do we call that? The Holy Spirit comes to you. The Holy Spirit is God. He brings conviction. What does He convict? Your unbelief has to be turned into belief in Jesus if you're going to be saved. So the Holy Spirit has come to convict you of the one sin of unbelief. That's the only sin. The only sin. Unbelief in Jesus Christ that Christ did not die for. Do you understand that? You got that, Tom? Good, I can tell that you do. All right, here we go. A body of believers in Christ who have been called out because you can't call yourself into salvation. God has to come to you before you can come to Him. So therefore, if you're having feelings of conviction, praise God for that. He's giving you an open door and opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. All right, back here. A body of believers in Christ who has been called out, called forth, selected, and assembled to be God's representatives in every town, city, state, or nation. A body called to make decisions that come from the Word of God that affect the atmosphere of a region. Once the church was birthed in Pergamum, underline that phrase, once the church was birthed, who put the church in Pergamum, a total demonic environment, an environment that you and I would not want to go in? We would not want to go to church there. And if somebody said, hey, Warren, let's build a church in Pergamum, Warren would say, are you stupid? Do you know that whole city is plagued by demons? Did you know that this is where Satan's seat is? And you had the audacity to say to me, hey, let's start a church here. How many of you would have started a church in Pergamum? Be honest. Thank you for your honesty. Now you know why I tell you what God does more than we think. He does stuff that is beyond human reasoning. He does stuff that is beyond human logic. I wouldn't have started a church there. I can hear Janae saying to me, Terry, God has called you into the ministry, but we ain't going there. They'll chew you up. Then you'll get a bad rap and you'll get a bad name and a bad reputation. But what does God do? God says, my light will put out darkness. Amen. There we go. All right, here we go. Selected, assembled to be God's representatives in every town, city, state, or nation. A body called to make decisions, source of making decisions, the Word of God, that affect the atmosphere of a region. Let me tell you something, Christian, if you're a wuss, you won't make it here. The wuss says to the brave ones, you go on. I'll be way back here behind you. Antipas, put my name on the list, Lord. You can find me out in front. You can hit on me. I'll do what you want. I'll do what you ask. I'll even die for you. And we'll talk about how he died. And it ain't good. Next Sunday. Once the church was birthed by the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, birthed in Pergamum, Satan's seat, his authority, his power became threatened, and his power was confronted and challenged. How many Christians today will confront and challenge that which is supernatural, demonic? Point. When the Bible refers to the seat of Satan, it is very important to notice the use of a definite article in Greek. This is important because it is describing a specific throne, an actual throne or seat. You mean Satan really exists? Yes. He was actually seated in Pergamum? Yes. He said, I like it here. So far, I've scared them all off. So So far, I rule. And nobody has the guts to resist me, Satan says. So I'm deeply rooted here in Pergamum. How in the world are you going to deal with a problem if you don't confront it? Hello, government of the United States of America. We have a problem in government. When will you confront it? Well, we can't, Terry. There's a bunch of us got our hand in a cookie jar over in China. And we don't like what's been done the past 4 years. That's why we don't want Mr. Trump. He's exposed too many of us. So therefore, we want a prostitute in office. The prostitute's name that's about to take office is Joe Biden. You remember watching a little film clip of him when he was young? He said, yeah, I'll prostitute myself. I'll go to the highest bidder. What do you want from me? You give me enough money, you get it. Joe Biden is a prostitute. And he will continue to do so. I just want to know when fake news is going to be confronted. I didn't know you could stay on TV and tell one lie after another and not get in trouble. I guess I better be quiet before I get in trouble. Point at the bottom. We're talking about the seat of Satan, the definite article in Greek. And Satan was seated on a real seat in Pergamum. And Jesus was calling on the church to unseat him. Wow! Come on, Jesus. We better have a meeting. Church says, I make a motion the deacons do it. And you'll be backed up by the committee on committees. And then the congregation will be back there somewhere. What did Jesus say? Can't you imagine him coming to an assembly today and saying, I got some work for you to do. Actually, I'm going to do it. But I need your bodies. I need you to do something for me. I need you to preach and teach the word of God. I need you to believe in the power of God, in the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross and the resurrection. I need you to understand and listen and believe that I have already conquered. I have already conquered who I'm asking you to confront. That's what gets me. I'm walking up to some defeated foe, already damned and doomed and done and packaged. So why am I scared? Why do I stand back? Do you believe? Or you need to pray more for your unbelief? Everything in the supernatural realm has already been defeated on the cross and the resurrection.
Amen.
Jesus. Now, does Satan come like a roaring lion?
Yes.
Yeah, and what do a lot of Christians do? You know what I want to say? Open your mouth, roaring lion, Satan, because you ain't got a tooth in it. Page 2. Is Jesus calling Christians to do the same thing today?
Yes.
Yes. Jesus is calling us to unseat Satan in our families. How many families would say, Terry, I got the spirit of chaos in my house right now. I've got the spirit of chaos in my house right now, and I'm sick and tired of it. Well, get your Bible out and stand in the middle of your floor, maybe every room in the house, and start reading the Word of God. If it worked for Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, it will work for you. Our families, our communities. You know what black lives can't matter, can't handle, or Antifa? What if there was about 10,000 Christians, 5,000 walking down the road in Portland with their Bible open, just reading the Word of God? What do you think might happen?
Pray now.
Communities, cities, states, regions. You know what Jesus is saying? There is no excuse. There is no excuse for Satan having a seat anywhere in this world. When my people do what I ask them to do, he will be unseated. Point. God doesn't want the devil to be the master of the house. I've had some wives said, well, I married him. Number two, we have been equipped by God with his word. Chad, there's Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And following. You can write that down, read it later. I got a question for you. How did Jesus overcome Satan? How did Jesus overcome Satan? There you go. Let's look at it. Jesus quoted Scripture. Jesus quoted Scripture. And you know what gets me? People say, Terry, I don't read the Old Testament. I don't preach or teach out of the Old Testament. Well, I got news for you. Jesus quoted out of the Old Testament.
Amen.
So if Jesus quoted out of the Old Testament, it's good enough for me. What about you? Okay, here you go. So how did Jesus overcome Satan? Jesus quoted Scripture. Now, there's three things that can build up to quoting Scripture. Number one, we've talked about it, is you got to learn the Word. If you're going to quote the Word, you got to learn the Word. Okay, that's the first thing you got to do. If you're going to quote the Word, you got to learn the Word. Number two, then you have to meditate on the Word. Learn the Word, number one. Number two, meditate on the Word. Number three, then submit to the Word. You know what the biggest problem is in God's house today? We'll read the Word of God, but we don't want to submit to the Word of God. We have been equipped by God with His Word, His power, and the blood of Jesus. That is how powerful you are. Now underline that. That is how powerful you are. That is how powerful you are when you let Jesus be who He is. And let the Word of God be what it is. If you will choose to preach the gospel and shine its glorious light, you will push the darkness. Get this. You will push those things you're using, will push the darkness out to and unseat Satan from his previously held territory. That was Christ's message to the church of Pergamum, and it is his message for the church today. Here's practical application. James 1:22. But prove yourselves doers. Underline the word doers, please. Two things here. Number one, the truth must be obeyed and not just studied. The Word of God has to be obeyed and not just studied. Number two, God's Word should change behavior, not just stimulate the mind. God's Word should change behavior and not just stimulate the mind. But prove yourselves. Prove yourselves. How do you prove yourself? I hear the Word. I read the Word. I do the Word. That's proven. But prove yourselves doers of the Word, that's the Word of God, actively and continually observing God's precepts, and not merely listeners who hear the Word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding, underline the word deluding, and write the word miscalculation. The word in the Greek refers to miscalculation. Now listen to this. If all you do is listen to the Word and you don't do the Word, then it's a serious spiritual miscalculation. That is a serious spiritual miscalculation to just listen to the Word and not do it. Verse 22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Look at the word but. It means to advance and develop the preceding ideal. So what came before verse 22? Well, you can say this. Lay aside all filthiness and receive the Word of God. And then begins to go to work on it here. The word be is a Greek present imperative. It means keep on doing this progressively as a lifestyle. Get progressive in it. What is Christianity? It is a lifestyle to be lived progressively. Not every now and then, but progressively. Look at this. But be means keep on transitioning. What do you do when you progressively go forward? You begin to transition. When you're making progress, you're transitioning. Transitioning from one to another. And that's what it means. I'm going to be a doer. We call that progressive sanctification, right? It's also divine purging. Divine purging right there. Yeah, divine purging. Now this is God's actions. emerging from eternity and showing themselves in time or physical space. Guess what? When you act in the physical realm, it's because it's already been acted in the spiritual realm. When you act in the physical realm, it didn't just happen. It was already in the spiritual realm. And let me tell you something. What God does in the spiritual realm, all He has to do is say, go. And it's down there in the physical realm. What a look. Hang in there, buddy. Because when we get in that other study, you're going to have four eyes in your forehead. Okay. Look at the word doers. Doers. Actively applying the Word of God to life, to every scene of life, because every scene of life carries with it eternal consequences. You know what that means? When you stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a Christian, everything you do has eternal consequences. It's either going to be rewarded or not rewarded. Okay, here we go. Actively applying the Word of God to life, to every scene of life, because every scene of life carries with it eternal consequences. Look at that word, deceiving your own selves. The word deceiving means to reason contrary to truth. But when I look at the TV in Portland, Oregon, and New York, and all those that are rioting, you know what? I think the four... Chad? I'll bounce this off Chad, the grand poopah. Makes him feel good. Deceiving means to reason contrary to truth. I'm going to keep that. Hold on to it. Deceiving means to reason contrary to truth. Number two, I'm going to come back later at another message. To leave the Word. How do you deceive yourself? You leave the Word of God. You leave the Word of God. And the Word of God is your what? Your true point of reference. If you've lost your reference, get back in the Word. You ever heard people say, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what direction. I don't know what to think. You've left your point of reference, which is the Word of God. Number three, reasoning that easily sells itself. Now listen to the power of the mind and the spirit that will work on your mind. Reasoning that easily sells itself, but actually manipulates, that is, uses attractive deceptions. The human mind is cunning. Who else is cunning?
Satan.
Wow! So Satan's going to be at work in the spirit of cunning and his intelligence, which... it's not good intelligence for you and I. The human mind is cunning. Can you imagine the human mind and its cunningness in the flesh without the Spirit of God in you? Without your point of reference, which is the Word of God? Wow. He can lure you and cunning, just put you in anything. Quickly justifying errors by manufacturing excuses that make wrong seem right. Man. This is all over the news, isn't it? This is what's going on. And what are we trying to do? Well, I think a few more laws. You need spiritual laws.
Amen.
That's what the Word of God is. It's a spiritual law. It's the Word of God, but it's a spiritual law. And when you take spiritual law out, human law goes nuts. It has no preference. It has no point of preference. Nothing. That's why the human mind is going pop, everywhere. You know why? There's no point of what? Reference. No point of reference when you take the Word of God out. And you really want to depend upon your human reasoning and your human logic? Let me tell you something. Again, Christianity is way beyond human logic.
Amen.
Here's a point at the bottom. The carnal mind is an excuse factory. The carnal mind is an excuse factory that produces rationalizations as fast as Pam's cow gives milk. That's fast, isn't it? Number two, deceiving means acting without reason. Woo! Reducing a person to thinking like a brute beast. Boy, look at the beast roaming the streets today in the big cities. Wow. There you go. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for letting us see what we haven't seen, letting us understand what we didn't understand. And thank you for what you're about to open up that will give us way more understanding of the little gods that exist, that existed. And when we talk about Greek mythology, even, be careful not to laugh too much at it. Do your homework. You can stay with it. You'll be surprised at all the little gods, the watchers, the angels, the good, the bad, and why things are happening like they are today. Folks, we live in the physical, but we deal also in the spiritual. And it's high time the people of God learn what to do with the Word of God, because the supernatural pays no attention to the human reasoning or logic. They're way beyond what you and I can think. Help us, O Lord, that we may help others, because it's going to get tough and tougher and tougher as time goes on. In Jesus' name, may it be to your glory, to our spiritual growth and understanding. Amen and amen.